Good morning. It's good to see everyone here this morning. Hopefully this morning I can bring a lesson to you, a lesson that we're probably all familiar with, and we can apply it to our life each and every day. You know, over the years we've heard many lessons about the prodigal son. Lessons that bring out so many impactful thoughts, and we could go down talking about the son, we could talk about the father, we could talk about the older brother. All these different lessons we can draw together and make application to how I need to be living my life. I also have a problem of telling on myself, and I'm going to tell a little story. So when Andrew and I were first married, we lived up in Columbus, and we went to West Broad, and one week we were going to have a gospel meeting. And the preacher was, I was looking at the flyer, and the preacher was going to talk for 5 nights on Luke 15 and the prodigal son. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm telling on myself here, this is going to be a long week. Have you ever thought that going into a gospel meeting? I know that's the saddest thing you can ever say, but I'm thinking, how much can you talk about the prodigal son and we're going to spend 5 nights on it? Well, I learned that week very quickly that you can talk a lot more than just 5 nights on the prodigal son and bring out something new. And it's something that we can learn so much from this passage here in Luke 15. And it's one of those things that these lessons are something that's always going to be on your mind and you're never going to forget them. So with that said, I'd like to consider what is taking place in here in Luke 15. Granted, we're going to spend most of our time in verses 11 through 32, but I want us to make sure that we're looking at Luke 15 as a whole so we can understand everything about it. So I'd like to start by reading verses 1 and 2. This is really what this whole passage is based upon. Luke 15, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Jesus now goes further into Luke 15 here, and he shares three parables back to back. And all of this is based on this phrase here in verse 2, or this thought of they were grumbling. The Pharisees and scribes were grumbling. And the Pharisees and scribes were appalled that Jesus was going to associate with such horrible people. He was going to associate with these sinners. Do we do this at times in our own life? Do we do this? Do we think to ourselves and create a level of who we think should be accepted and a level of who should not? This is what the scribes and Pharisees were doing that day. And we have to keep in mind that we all have sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. And Jesus starts his teaching to the Pharisees, describing practical situations, things that they would understand and clearly draw a lesson and draw a thought in their own minds. Now, we're not going to spend time on necessarily in the first part of this chapter, but I want us to think about what's going on here. So starting in Luke 15 and verse 4 through 7, we're not going to read this for time's sake, but Jesus describes a parable about a shepherd that has 100 sheep and he loses one. Now, in our mind today, what would we say? Who cares, right? We have 99 other sheep. What is that one is gone. Don't need to worry about that one anymore. But Jesus says, and he understands that the scribes and Pharisees would understand the same thing, that there was value in that one sheep. So the shepherd cares for all of his sheep and searches to find it, to bring it back, and rejoices because of that value of one sheep. He now continues in Luke 15, verses 8 through 10, describing another similar situation, another situation they would understand. And it says, where a woman had 10 coins. And it says here in the verse that if she were to lose a coin, would it not make sense that she would search diligently throughout her whole house to find that one coin? And again, you can just imagine these scribes and Pharisees shaking their head. Absolutely, she's doing the right thing. She's looking for that valuable coin and then rejoicing when it's found. Looking at this passage to you and I today, it's just, you can see that progression. He's building up to something, right? And now Jesus is getting ready to teach them the real lesson that they needed to hear. He was going to share with them the value of that one soul that finds their way home. Jesus emphasizes the importance of a lost soul returning to the Heavenly Father. And he's not dealing here with the whole gospel message, but with the one great fact that the Father's forgiving love for sinners. One of the most well-known verses, and really the misunderstood verse in the Bible, is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is God's plan, that we all come to repentance. Now, digging a little bit deeper into our study this morning, I'd like to start by reading Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. I ask that you read with me. It says, And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the shares of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. In these two verses alone, verses 11 and 12, we find what that root problem is. We understand the root problem that made his son turn away from his father and all that he had to offer him. And that problem was this self-will, this selfishness with a desire to experience the ways of the world. We've heard it said many times that in this passage, the son is telling the father that he wished that he was dead. It's obvious to see that the son is only concerned with what he wants, and he cares less about what his father, his family, or anyone else cares about. We need to make sure that we are not living like this son with this attitude to follow earthly desires. And we read in Luke 15 and verse 13, it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living, or some versions say wasted or reckless living. When we read this verse, I can't help but think of another passage, and we won't turn there, but 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. This passage, as we know, speaks of the lust of the world that really everyone deals with to some degree, or one time or another. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of these are areas of temptation that draw us away from the love of the Father. And we need to be careful of them. But this is exactly what the son did. He went from the covering of his father. He had everything and wasted his life and substance with riotous living. But just like life, when you think you've got life figured out, disaster typically strikes, right? We now read in verse 14, it says, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. What often happens in situations like this is we end up reaping what we sow. Not only did his money run out, but we see here that the country was experiencing a famine in the land. So the son went from the comfort of his father to now having nothing. When we think about the world we live in today, we can see that it is like the prodigal son. The world follows its lust, living in extravagance, spending its inheritance, but there is going to be a day of reckoning when it all comes to an end, when it all runs out. We need to be ready. Matthew 24, verse 7 says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines pestilences and earthquakes in various places. So now the disaster strike, now that he has nothing and he's living in a famine, we read now in verses 15 through 17. It says, "So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. He sent him into his fields to feed pigs, and he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. But he came to himself. He said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger?'" I think about this thought here. The son came to himself. This is a passage, or a phrase, I should say, that is overlooked by many, but really is the most crucial phrase in this passage. He came to himself. Other versions might say he came to his senses. When life didn't go the way he thought, he came to himself. You know, hardship has a wonderful way of bringing men to face facts. The prodigal son at this point reflected on the contrast between the starvation he was experiencing in life, the situation he was in, and then the fullness and the plenty that was enjoyed not only by his father, not only by his brother, but even by those that was hired by his father. And it even says that they had enough bread to spare. This is his mental state right now. This is what he's understanding in his life, where he's got himself into. So now he must make a decision, right? We read now in verses 18 through 19, "I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" The prodigal son was about to make an important decision as a result of coming into his senses. He comes to a place of repentance. He comes to a place of humility, confession, and realizing just how unworthy he is. One thing I read recently about this verse that shows the attitude, the difference in the attitude of this son. I want you to notice, remember when we read up in verse 12? What was the attitude there? He demanded his father to give me my portion. He demanded this. He didn't care about anything except himself. And now we get to verse 19. And he says, in all humility, he says, "Treat me as one of your hired servants," or "make me as one of your hired servants." He doesn't want to get back to the status that he had before he wasted his life. He just wanted to be his father's hired servants. He understood he sinned against his father and knew that he was not worthy to be called his son. Now we're at a turning point here. This is the son we've studied about right now, right? This is where the story that Jesus is telling gets beautiful. Even though the prodigal son had wasted his life, his father was waiting to receive him back with open arms. We start reading in verse 20 and 21. It says, "And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" The father we see here ran out to meet him. Think about the phrase. It's one of those phrases that I think about often. It says, "while he was still a long ways off." I think there's a lot of impact on that phrase. Do you think it was by chance that the father just glanced up while he was around the house, on the land, on the property somewhere, and just happened to notice his son? No. I don't get that from this verse. I don't get that the father just happened to glance up, but I see the father as watching, hoping, praying that one day his son would return. Christ also is watching and waiting for all to come to repentance. We must all humble ourselves and just come home. the Father also, if you think about what the Father did here, he did not see his son. He didn't call for one of his hired servants to go get him, bring him back to the house. The Father ran. The Father ran to him because his son had returned. I also noticed something else here in this passage. We don't see the Father talking to the son about what terrible decisions he made, how he wasted his life, and how he would need to earn his trust back. Do you read that? In these passages, I don't read that at all. What we see is the Father accepting him back with open arms, so thankful of his return. We read in Revelation 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." While putting this lesson together, I came across a quote. I can't remember if it was online or on Facebook or something like that, but it was something that it just hit me as I was preparing for this. This individual wrote, I'm crying as I'm reading the part where the prodigal son was rehearsing the speech to himself in preparation to approach his father. But before he could start the speech, he received a hug. And then he was halfway through it before the father called for a party. The lesson for us is, wanderers, stop drafting your speech and just come home. What a wonderful lesson. Many times we may convince ourselves that we cannot be forgiven. Many times we think that we've done too many bad things in our life and we are not worthy to be called a child of God. But we're told in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I want to look a little bit further into the Father's love. If we read in verse 22, it says, "But the Father said to his servant, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." The Father had his servants bring out the best robes, put them on, a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Again, something we read, do we really understand? This speaks of how he was fully received back into the family. If we consider what the Father did and the meaning behind it, we would see that the best robe was a sign of position. The ring conveyed authority, and the sandals marked him as a free man. He would not be a laborer, as the son asked. He was going to be his son. When we come into the arms of the Heavenly Father, he clothes us with robes of righteousness. We're told in Zechariah 3, verse 3 through 4, it says, "Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. Then he answered and spoke to those who stood around or before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes." Again, the father clothed his prodigal son with the best robe. He was saying to his son and to everyone around that his son was totally forgiven in his sight and his sins would not be held against him any longer. I'd like to continue on now in verses 23 through 24. Again, we see further the love of this father. It says, "And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found," and they began to celebrate. Again, this further exemplifies the love and the heart of God when he shows rejoicing over a repentant son. We didn't read this, but back in 15 in verse 7 of Luke, it says, "I say to you that likewise there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." So we've looked at the son, the prodigal son. We've looked at the father. Now I'd like to, in this lesson, look in just briefly at the elder son and his reaction. And I'd like to read verses 25 through the end of the chapter, verse 32. It says, "Now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry, and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered to his father, Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came," and I think that's pretty important to remember too, he didn't even call him brother. He calls him this son of yours, "who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him?" And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." This lesson here is not to take on the attitude of the Pharisees, back in verse 2. Let us not allow our carnal attitudes to cause us to be like this older brother who was exhibiting an attitude towards sinners, again, just as the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled. We must rejoice when a sinner repents. There are more lessons that we can review concerning the older brother, but for today we must learn that salvation is offered to all, regardless of a person's past life, no matter how riotous they may have lived. Maybe you today have lived. God will forgive us and forget our sins if we repent, if we are willing to obey His word. If a person wastes his life, it is also not our responsibility to be critical of what they've done, but rather to show God's love and compassion towards them and help them find the error in their ways. We need to realize that we too were lost, and thanks be to God that we were given the opportunity to repent. We can see in this parable that we are thankful that the son was able to run out of money and run out of food before he ran out of time. Because we understand today that not all of us are that fortunate. We don't know the next minute. We don't know the next day. But we need to act now. So the question for this lesson this morning is simply, are you living wastefully? Are you living riotous? We are going to go through difficult times in life, and many of us have even made very bad decisions in our life. But we must come to ourselves and repent. We learn from this lesson that God is ready, God is willing to forgive all of our trespasses. But are you ready to humble yourselves and just come home? I'd like for you to think on these things and let us help you in any way we can as together we stand and sing the invitation song.